अशोकगुणानुभादः संगीते वृक्षं मङ्गलाग्नः तमेदनिच्छं श्रूयार वृक्षम् कृष्णेमलं भक्तिम् अदीप्यमानः यः विच् टु ऑन द अदर हैंड उत्तम श्लोकः ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हु इज प्राइज्ड इन ट्रांसेंडेंटल वर्सेस Guna of the qualities, Anuvadaha, the recounting, Sangeete is sung, Avikshnam always, Amangalagna, which destroys everything inauspicious, Tam. That eva indeed nityam regularly shunuyat one should hear abhikshnam constantly krishne unto Lord Krishna amalam untainted bhaktim devotional service. Abhishmanaha. He who desires. Translation. The person who desires pure devotional service to Lord Krishna should hear the narrations of Lord Uttama Shloka's glorious qualities, the constant chanting of which destroys everything inauspicious. The devotee should engage in such listening in regular daily assemblies and should also continue his hearing throughout the day. Purport. Since any topic related to Lord Krishna is auspicious and transcendental, the direct narration of Lord Krishna's own activities, political and non-political, is certainly the supreme subject matter for hearing. The word nityam here indicates regulated cultivation of the topics of Lord Krishna, and avikshnam indicates constant remembrance of such regulated spiritual experiences. Read the verse again. Canto 12, chapter 3, verse 15. Yastut maha shloka gunanu vadaha sangite vikshnam amangala gnaha tameva nityam shnuyada vikshnam krishne manam bhaktin abhipsamannaha. The person who desires pure devotional service to Lord Krishna should hear the narrations of Lord Uttama Shloka's glorious qualities, the constant chanting of which destroys everything inauspicious. The devotees should engage in such listening in regular daily assemblies and should also continue his hearing throughout the day. So here, of course, we're discussing the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in this chapter and the next chapter also, Sukadeva Goswami makes statements, a couple of statements such as these, to Parikshit Maharaj, where he confirms and elaborates upon what he spoke to Parikshit Maharaj 7 days previously. When he first sat down with Parikshit Maharaj on the banks of the Ganges to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Brigit Maharaj, as we know, was cursed by the son of a Brahmana. And that curse meant that he was to die within 7 days. And so Brigit Maharaj was actually the emperor of the entire world, and he decided, because he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, that he would fast and renounce his kingdom, everything, family, all his possessions, and sit down and just fix his mind on Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. So he had this determination, of course, because Brigit Maharaj was coming in the line of devotees of the Lord, such as Yudhisthira Maharaj and Arjuna, and therefore he had the good example of his forefathers, who were also great devotees of the Lord, and at the end of their lives, at the end of their mission, they also just gave up everything and decided to go back to Godhead and fix their mind upon Lord Sri Krishna. Brigit Maharaj, of course, was also saved personally by Krishna while he was within the womb as an embryo, and his the body within the womb was actually burnt and destroyed, and therefore Krishna gave him another body to that he later took birth, and so Brigit Maharaj was able to understand that Krishna had personally saved him from the very beginning of his life. So he was a great devotee of the Lord, and naturally, because of his training, because of the coming in the line of Vaishnavas and being personally saved by Krishna, and being always in the association of various sadhus who are always glorifying Lord Sri Krishna, naturally at the time of death, death coming within 7 days, he decided he should fix his mind upon Krishna and go back to Godhead. So he sat down. Of course, this is a huge event. We remember that Maharaj Brigit was the emperor of the entire world at this stage. He was. We see that when any great personality decides to renounce this world, it becomes a international phenomena, something that's talked about for many, many years. We know such persons as people may remember Cat Stevens, a very famous singer back in the 70s, and of course he gave up. He was at the absolute height of a musical career, considered to be one of the most brilliant musicians, songwriters, and musician, and he renounced that to pursue his spiritual life, to fix his mind upon God in the Muslim faith. So it is something that's quite astounding to people. What to speak of here, the emperor. We can imagine if President Obama, decided that he's finished with all his politics and all the wars and everything like that, and he's going to sit down on the bank of the Hudson and in a loincloth, and just invite the local devotees from the temple to come and recite Srimad Bhagavatam to him. So this is quite a phenomena for Brigit Maharaj, and therefore all the great saints and sages from all over the universe actually come to see in fact they wanted to see that also, they understood, well, this great devotee of the Lord Krishna is going back to the spiritual world. They wanted to actually, perceive this wonderful, wonderful event. So not only was it wonderful that he actually decided to renounce everything and to sit down and to fix his mind upon the Supreme Lord, that in itself, but they also understood that because he was so exalted, that he would be going back to Godhead, and they wanted to actually, you know, be part of that great event. So Prigit Maharaj, he sat down and he spoke to the various sages and let them know his determination. Those various saints and sages were there also in the capacity to answer any of the questions, to help Prigit Maharaj to attain liberation or to go back to Godhead according to their level of understanding and expertise. Prigit Maharaj let them know that that was his determination, to fix his mind upon the Supreme Lord, Lord Sri Krishna, and for the benefit of all people to come, he wanted them to unanimously agree with that decision. That was his hope, that in the future there should be no controversy or contradiction, that, you know, oh, Prigit Maharaj, you know, you decided to fix your mind upon Lord Sri Krishna, you should have actually, you know, taken up some, you know, prayaschitta to atone for your sinful activities, or you should have taken up some jnana yoga, you know, and just fixed your mind upon the impersonal Brahman, or, you know, you should have fixed your mind, you know, in Astanga yoga on the Paramatma feature. So, you know, people may argue, so he was wanted that they unanimously agree. That was his hope. But of course, because, you know, to be a devotee of the caliber of Prigit Maharaj, who understands the topmost feature of the Absolute Truth to be Bhagavan, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, very, very rare. We see that in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna said to Arjuna when he showed him his universal form, which is actually, you know, the Lord perceived through his material energy. That universal form is a manifestation by the Vishnu or the Super Soul. And when Krishna revealed that universal form to Arjuna, after Arjuna saw that, Krishna said that this form, this universal form that you're seeing, is very difficult to understand or to see even by the great demigods. You know, it is some of the demigods, of course, were able to perceive that universal form, which was displayed by Krishna to Arjuna, but it was very, very difficult for them to fully comprehend, you know, what is it, who is this universal form? Of course, even Arjuna asked the question, you know, who are you? And Krishna revealed that, you know, time I am. You know, so all the manifestations, past, present, and future, within the universe, is manifested within that universal form. And then Krishna revealed his forearm form, and then he revealed his two-arm form, and thus he showed that actually, you know, this forearm form and this universal form, they're coming, they're expansions from my two-arm form. But Krishna was saying, even this understanding the material manifestation of the Krishna's energy manifested within the universal form is very, very difficult to understand even by great demigods and sages. And then when he showed him his two-arm form, you know, he said, this two-arm form, you know, even more difficult to understand. So the various sages that were sitting there before Bricket Maharaj, they had many different understandings of, what should Bricket Maharaj fix his mind upon? You know, yes, fix your mind upon God, but who is God? Is God the universal form? Is as people believe, is Krishna, Narayan, Ram, are these just subordinate aspects of the universal form? So they're more or less imaginary, and the universal form is the actual form of God, which is in one sense temporary and resting upon the impersonal Brahman. Or, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, is he correct that actually the universal form is resting and Brahman is resting upon him? And this, so there are many, many different opinions. You know, is Krishna an incarnation from Vishnu, the super soul, or is Vishnu an expansion of Krishna, is Bhagavan? So very, very difficult for these various sages to understand. Bricket Maharaj knew, of course, that Krishna is actually Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that had been explained to Arjun personally by Krishna. And actually Bricket Maharaj, he spent his time that wherever he went, he would always absorb himself in the hearing and chanting wherever he went about, you know, Krishna and the Pandavas. Now, what did Krishna say to Arjuna? What did Arjuna reply? What was Arjuna's understanding? How did he act upon this? So, you know, Bricket Maharaj, he was also fixed in the understanding of the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but he wanted there be a unanimous decision. And so, you know, while the various sages were discussing amongst themselves, and Bricket Maharaj had made that determination, and in one sense they were hoping, you know, that some resolution could come if there was some great personality like Sukadeva Goswami. And of course at that very moment Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Srila Vyasadeva, appeared. And everyone there could understand by his symptoms and his bodily features, and by his fame also, that he was actually the most exalted person. And they all immediately stood up, of course, except for Vyasadeva and Narada Muni, who were, although they respected him as the most exalted person to speak before them, but still being the father, Vyasadeva and, you know, Narada Muni, the Param Guru, it's not their duty to stand. But they still offered respect, that, no, you shall speak before all of us. So, of course, Sukadeva Goswami sat down, and Bricket Maharaj asked him that for a person who is about to die, what is the duty for highest perfection, you know, the supreme goal, and the duty for everyone, especially for one who is about to die, and what should one be hearing about, talking about, chanting, thinking about, remembering, meditating upon, and what should one not be thinking about, talking about, meditating upon? So he asked these two questions. We see these questions at the end of the 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto. So actually then Sukadeva Goswami answered those questions, especially in the beginning of the second canto, but then the entire Srimad Bhagavatam from the second canto to about the fifth chapter of the 12th canto is in fact an expansion, where Sukadeva Goswami expands his initial answers. First of all, of course, he explained that what we should not do, we should not be like the materialist, And he explained it. So what is the materialist doing? At night time, you know, they're sleeping or having sex. In the daytime, they're earning money and maintaining their family members like this. That's basically the whole, you know, that's all their activities can be summed up like that. And so, you know, they're always talking about these things. If you, you know, if you speak to a materialistic person, it's very hard to have a conversation. Someone asked Srimurti yesterday, you know, what's Ganga doing? She was with a sort of like a mother's group for children having a birthday party. You know, he's giving a talk. And then they said, what's he giving a talk on? You know, sat of course, she thought, oh, you know, how do I explain this to, you know. He's talking about knowledge from ancient scriptures. Really? Well, what's that knowledge? You know, and it's like every time she says something, she's like, oh, you know, I can't, you know, I'm sort of getting myself in, but I can't actually explain it to these people. But it's just a simple question, you know, what's he doing? And she had, so then, you know, where's he doing that? You know, it's like, Albert Park. Albert Park? What's in Albert Park? And she goes, oh, the races. How's the races in Albert Park like this? So she managed to get, oh, and then of course off they went, oh yeah, the races like this, you know, so they're very happy. But it's just, it's very hard sometimes with some people just to even, you know, answer one question, because, you know, some people, they're just so far removed from anything that a devotee does that, you know, it's just, they have a conversation like, what are you doing? What is that? You know. So, you know, their whole, but if you talk to them about, oh, you know, the business, the finances, you know, the politics, the wars, you know, the new cars, the weather, you know, this suburb, that suburb, you know, like the fashions, you know, so it's all like, they'll talk for hours and hours and hours like this, you know, how to increase your sex life, you know, or all the problems they're having with their sex life, you know, is a real thing. And in this way, that's what they absorb their mind in. And they have no knowledge, actually, of the self. They have no knowledge of the spirit soul, the super soul. They have no knowledge that the human form of life is something special where one can actually achieve, you know, liberation or, you know, love of God. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying, these are not the things. Especially, you have 7 days to live. Especially, of course, everyone can die at any moment. But Pariksit Maharaj knew that, you know, he understood 7 days. You know, you have to perfect your life. So, you know, basically, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining that, you know, within the course of our lifetime, we actually have to prepare for a better life in our next lifetime. And we should be talking about that subject matter and not, you know, wasting literally the entire duration of our life literally forgetting the main subject. So that's the main subject of what we should talk about in the human form of life. That what preparations I'm making to solve the problem of birth, death, old age and disease, and to actually, you know, go back to the spiritual world. But for the materialists, their conversations bewilder them in such a way that that topic never even comes up. And when it comes up, they can't even relate to it, even on for the slightest degree. So Pariksit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami was saying, we shouldn't, you know, absorb ourselves like that. So then he said, so what should be the topic of our hearing and chanting? He said, one should always, constantly, everywhere, at all times, all places, be glorifying the hearing and chanting and remembering the activities of the Supreme Lord. So this here we see that Sukadeva Goswami is saying the same thing. So from the very beginning, Sukadeva Goswami explained that actually if you fix your mind upon the Supreme Lord by hearing, chanting, remembering, and the other different processes of bhakti, but especially hearing, chanting, remembering, you know, it is the surest guaranteed way and the highest way that we can actually attain perfection. So then at the end of the second chapter, the second canto, he answers the question as what is true, what is the supreme perfection? And he says that one who does this, one who always drinks the nectar of the glories of the Supreme Lord, you know, through the vessels of the ear, then that person is guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. So that is the supreme perfection. As far as what a person should do when they're about to die, basically they should fix their mind upon the Supreme Lord. But there are various ways that we can fix our mind upon the Supreme Lord, but he says from the very beginning the best way, the way that's actually recommended by all the Vedic scriptures as the best, the easiest, the safest, and that which gives the highest perfection is hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord or the process of bhakti. Now, Sukadeva Goswami knew, of course, that although Pariksit Maharaj would immediately take up that because he was qualified, and therefore we see that actually, you know, Pariksit Maharaj, he just sat down and for 7 days without eating, drinking, sleeping, anything, he just heard Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention. So, you know, he just immediately took up that instruction. But even many of the great sages and some of the various demigods who had actually appeared there on that scene were not qualified, in fact, even to understand Sukadeva Goswami's instruction, let alone to act upon it. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami explained to them the other processes in the Vedas, which are preliminary processes to actually help one to qualify to hear and chant and glorify about the Supreme Lord. And he described that these different processes are mentioned in the Vedas. They're described by Lord Brahma, they're spoken by Lord Krishna, they're spoken by Narada Muni. And so he described that within the Vedas, generally, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is such an elevated process, even though it's the most highly recommended and the easiest for those who are qualified. It's so difficult to understand because people have certain levels of material contamination. According to a person's conditioning in the material world, they become less and less qualified to understand, let alone practice that hearing and chanting about, especially about Lord Sri Krishna. So for them, the Vedas recommend, well, first of all, purify yourself. If you can't fix your mind upon the Lord, you purify yourself, and they give so many different purificatory activities, progressively. Progressive purification. But ultimately, the Vedas always instruct that one must fix your mind upon the Absolute Truth, otherwise there's no possibility of purification. And especially by sound vibration. So whether you're fixing your mind upon the impersonal aspect of the Absolute Truth by meditating upon Om and controlling the mind by the Astanga Yoga process and thinking of Om, or whether you are fixing your mind upon the Paramatma feature, or whether you're fixing your mind upon Krishna, but somehow or another you have to associate with God. What is the result of purification? The result of purification is you actually come to the platform of the Absolute Truth. In other words, instead of being in association with the material energy, a purified person, a liberated person, actually comes into contact with the Absolute Truth. So progressively, as we become purified, it means we become more intimately related with the Absolute Truth, and any traces that separate us from the Absolute Truth are removed. That is purification. So if we can't associate with the Absolute Truth on any platform, there's no question of purification. And therefore, if to be purified, we must associate with the Absolute Truth to some degree or another. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami explains just very briefly, and of course this is explained in further on throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, that generally there are, the recommendation is that one fix their mind upon the Super Soul or Vishnu. It's very difficult for people to understand Krishna. People should fix their mind upon the Super Soul, or the Lord who sits within the heart, who sits within every atom. That Lord Vishnu is transcendental to the material world. Lord Vishnu, the Super Soul, is the controller of the material world, is the creator of the material world, the maintainer of the material world, and transcendental to the material world. And by fixing one's mind upon the Supreme Lord within the heart, Vishnu, becomes free from all the material things which are there within the mind and the heart. So Sukadeva Goswami gives the description that by Astanga Yoga, a mechanical process, one gradually does sitting postures and various breathing exercises, and gradually withdraws the mind from the external senses and gradually fixes the mind meditating upon the Super Soul within the heart, is described to be about thumb size, about the measurement of the heart, and he sits there within the heart, and one should meditate first upon his lotus feet. And gradually one's, and the descriptions are there in the scriptures, gradually one's meditation rises to the knees and the legs and the hips and the waist and the lotus face of the Lord, like this. According to one's level of purity, they will be able to fix their mind and gradually meditate upon the different progressive limbs of the Lord. But if their minds are contaminated by the material energy, such persons will not be able to do that. Their meditation will be constantly broken by the material thoughts that constantly come up within the heart. So therefore Sukadeva Goswami advises for those persons, they're practicing yoga, Astanga Yoga, that they should fix their mind upon the Virata Rupa, or the universal form. And the difficulty is because people have a material conception of the Supreme Lord, they can't understand that God is a person, and that personal form of God is transcendental. People think that God cannot be a person, that to have a form, is not possible beyond the material world. Beyond the material world, they believe everything is formless. Form is only a part of the material world. So, therefore, they have very little faith. So, although the scriptures are describing to meditate upon Lord Vishnu, they have no faith that God is even a person that has a form. How can they fix themselves in samadhi? Their minds are more attracted to the material forms, which offer different varieties of material sense enjoyment. So therefore, Sukadeva Goswami advises, so you fix your mind, because your mind can only perceive things in a material way, you have very little faith in the transcendental form of the Lord, and therefore cannot perfect your meditation upon the Lord, so therefore fix your mind upon the Virata Rupa, or the gigantic manifestation, universal form of the Lord. So the result of that is that as they fix their mind upon the universal form of the Lord, gradually they begin to see everything in relationship with God, and this purifies the tendency to enjoy the material world from the heart, because one gradually sees everything in relationship with God, even in a material way at first. And by seeing everything in relationship with God, gradually it invokes one a sense of one sees oneself as a tiny part of the Supreme, rather than as the whole. So one can see oneself in relationship to the whole, gigantic form of the Lord. And one also sees everything is part of God, and therefore one's sinful activities or sinful mentality diminishes. If you see, for instance, we know here that, we see this drum, we know that belongs to the temple. It's God's drum. So you don't see, people, people, come into the temple, but even most of the guests, they know that they don't even touch it because it's a purified object. Anywhere else, people they like to touch everything. They've just sort of eaten things and been scratching their ear and they like to touch it. But they come to the temple, they understand, that this belongs to God. We don't even touch it. These are all purified things. By seeing everything within the universal form as part of God, it purifies the heart of the, and one becomes more godly in one's outlook, one's activities. At the same time, by seeing the universal form, one begins to see the personality, because one looks at the, if you see the universe and you study it properly, you must come to the conclusion that there is a person, a wonderful person, behind the universe. Right. So, for example, one may see that within the universe there are so many different colours, beautiful coloured birds. You see the rainbow. You see, it's described in the universal form that the sunset and the sunrise are the various, the clothing, dress of the Lord. Everyone knows, everyone likes to sit and look at the beautiful sunrise, and the colours just light up the sky and they change. And they're just so incredible, that even people who like to sleep in, and they love their sleep, still they'll get up to, and they'll sometimes go to the top of a mountain just to watch the sunrise. And when they understand, that is, it is a reflection of the Lord's dress in the spiritual world. That he has a dress sense. He has this beautiful sense like that. So, as one sees a material creation, one begins to see the nature of the personality of Godhead. That he's a person. Within the universe, there are so many, musical sounds, sometimes coming from angels or Gandharvas and Apsaras, sometimes from the birds and the animals and different people. Throughout the whole universe, there's so many beautiful sounds. So then we must understand that the creator of the material universe has this wonderful artistic, musical sense. And the material world is just a small reflection of that. So we start to see a personality. You know, we don't see a brick. You pick up a brick, you don't think, oh, you know, what sort of musical talents this brick has. You know, the musical talents is something that belongs to a person. Only a person can have that sense of music, colour, taste, artistry. So in this way, gradually those meditating upon the Virata Rupa, they get a slight sense and an attraction towards God as a person, and it also purifies the heart of the various impurities, and the result is they then become qualified to fix their mind upon the super soul within the heart and to practice their Ashtanga yoga and to actually fix themselves in complete meditation upon the super soul without breaking in samadhi. So it is a preliminary process, it's not the goal, but it's recommended there in the Vedas as a preliminary process for those who can't fix their mind upon the personal feature of the Lord. So those yogis, if they come to that point where they can fix their mind upon the Supreme Lord, then you know, there is some tinge of bhakti there. There is some you know, slight acceptance and appreciation of the Lord as a person, and perhaps, you know, the slightest little inclination when there's a person to develop a relationship. It's not quite there. There's an appreciation, but there's nothing really acted upon. So the Shanta Bhaktas come to this platform. You know, the Shanta Bhaktas, they're in a stage of neutrality. They appreciate that God may be a person, and they appreciate his spiritual and material opulences, but they don't really do anything about it. They don't serve the Lord in a loving attitude. So actually the Virata root manifestation is for those who are completely unqualified to serve the Lord in any capacity at all. Like that. You know, people admire, you know, the various yogis who meditate upon the Virata Rupa. For a devotee, of course, you know, we appreciate that they're making some advancements, some of them. But you know, if we see a young devotee come to the temple, and we try and engage them, oh, you know, Prabhu, could you, carry this upstairs? You know, just engage someone, you know, something. You know, oh, I can't do that. You know, we think, oh, you know, boy, he's had an opportunity to do a little service, and he can't do the slightest thing. You know, so we sort of look at them. Gee, you know, you're really beginning. You're sort of, you know, we give them. At least they've come to appreciate, you know, the deities and prasad and you know, what's happening with the Hare Krishna. But some of them, they cannot do any service. And you see that sometimes, even there are actually devotees who are around the temple a lot. And sometimes, you know, you think, because you see them all the time, you think, and sometimes you try and engage them, oh, can you do this? Like this. And then you appreciate, oh, you know, it's, okay, I can understand that. That service attitude has not developed, and therefore, you know, we take that person as very neophyte, just beginning. You know, there's no. So, whereas those who meditate upon the Virata Rupa have no capacity to serve the Lord practically at all, and therefore, you know, that is recommended. But still, they're associating with God. Actually, the potencies of the Supreme Lord, even in his universal form, in his universal feature, are significant, inconceivably powerful to still purify the heart of those persons trying to practice yoga but still encumbered by, you know, being very materialistic. So if they come to that platform where they can fix their mind upon the Supreme Lord, there are two ways for them. One is that they can fix their mind upon the super soul and actually go back to Vaikuntha. They literally immediately transfer themselves to the spiritual world as a result of their perfection. But generally, we see that many yogis, even who have been able to meditate significantly upon the super soul and even to develop great mystic cities, they become very attached to the material world and to the mystic cities. They still, the material contamination, inclination to stay in this material world and enjoy it as a little imitation God is so difficult that those yogis, they're still, as perfect as they are in Astanga Yoga, they still can't leave the material world. Prabhupada gives the example that the astronauts, the Russian astronauts flying around the world, and they're looking, there is my Moscow. So it doesn't matter how high they get, they're still attached to the same thing. Prabhupada also gives the example of the vulture. Now the vulture has the ability to see things from miles and miles away. For us, we can't even see, Even for other animals, there's a little spot in the distance. For the vulture, they see up. So their vision is so highly tuned. But what are they looking at? Oh, here is a dead carcass. There is something dying. So they're still looking. They have this wonderful vision far above, a facility far above everyone else, and they're still looking at the same thing, just dead carcass. So even the yogis, they rise to such an elevated platform, but they're still looking, same thing, I am the enjoyer in the material world. So some very, very rare yogis can achieve liberation and go back to Vaikuntha, the abode of Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan resides in the spiritual sky, in various Vaikuntha planets, in his various expansions. Other yogis, because of they still need more purification, they take a gradual process and they rise bit by bit. They go to Vaishvanara. The planet where the sun god resides, and actually they become somewhat purified there. After purification, after some time, they travel, they follow the Milky Way, and they come to, on their way to Brahmaloka, or the topmost part of the universe, and they come to the Sisamara, the circle. It's considered the navel of the Virata Rupa. But there, also where the pole star there, or Dhruva Loka, Kshiradakshay resides in his Svayadvipa transcendental planet. From there, after some purification, they go to Mahaloka. From Mahaloka, at the end of Brahma's life, when they see that an antasasya from the bottom of the universe breathes out a fire which begins to burn up the entire universe, they go upwards to Brahmaloka, gradually through the different planets. And there, at the end of Brahma's life, when Brahma goes back to the spiritual world or attains liberation, he may go to Vaikuntha, they enter within the form of Brahma and they also return to the spiritual world with him. So is more purification for those yogis, bit by bit by bit, and associated with great sadhus like this. But so these are the gradual processes, but Sukadeva Goswami is saying there's something more than that, that actually the highest perfection is not liberation. The highest perfection is actually attaining prema bhakti, or pure love of God. And one who attains that not only relishes transcendental bliss, which is beyond liberation, residing within the Vaikuntha planets, what to speak of impersonal liberation. But that prema bhakti allows one to reach Krishna Loka, or the topmost planet of Vaikuntha, where the Supreme Lord resides in his original form, which is considered to be the reservoir of all rasas, or transcendental tastes. So those who go to Vaikuntha, they certainly relish the beginnings of rasa with Lord Narayan in servitude. But in Krishna Loka, Krishna, in the original form of God, allows his associates there to associate with him with the full range of spiritual rasa in friendship and intimate loving relationships like this. So the rasa there becomes so much thicker, so much sweeter, so much more variety like this. So this is but that is only achieved, that is not achieved by the yogis who meditate upon the Super Soul or Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayana. That is only achieved by one who takes the process of hearing and chanting and glorifying the activities of Lord Sri Krishna. That is only for them. It is something special. So Sukadeva Goswami, here he's describing, one should hear the narrations of a person who desires pure devotional service to Krishna. So he's saying, we're not talking about the yogis who want to attain liberation. He's saying one who actually wants to, attain pure devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna, the Bhagavan feature, the topmost feature of the Supreme Lord, which is, the topmost feature of the spiritual world, for them, they should regularly hear and chant about the narrations and the glorious qualities of Krishna known as Uttama Sloka. Now those, by doing that, it actually destroys everything inauspicious within the heart. Just as the Vedas describe so many preliminary processes to destroy inauspicious things within the heart so one can fix the mind upon the Lord. But Sukadeva Goswami is saying that one who is able to fix the mind on the Lord in his topmost feature as Krishna, that is the supreme perfection. But that is very, very difficult even for the great yogis. That is very difficult even for the demigods such as Brahma, Shiva, Ganesh. Very, very difficult. It's very, very rare. Extremely rare. But the process itself is so powerful that what is not possible to do by even great sages and great yogis becomes possible even by ordinary people, and even in this Kali Yuga. Actually, this process is recommended in any yuga, in any time, as the topmost perfection. But even in Kali Yuga, it is so powerful. In fact, in Kali Yuga, practically it's not possible to perform the other processes. Anyone who's making a show of meditating on the universal form or practicing Ashtanga Yoga, they're really just making a fashion statement, and there's no real value in it. So understanding this, of course, I can see everyone will be sitting and thinking, from today on, I'm going to, take up Sukadeva Goswami's instruction and I'll just fix my mind upon Krishna, and all day today, all day tomorrow, I'm just going to absorb myself in the pastimes of Shri Radha Krishna. You know, Krishna with the gopis, and in this way, you know, I'll become completely transcendental within 7 days, just like Purukkha Maharaj. So, but Sukadeva Goswami, he describes that that is not possible, as we describe. Even great demigods, even great sages, do not have the purification, you know, to be able to fix their mind upon the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the form of Lord Sri Krishna, the name of Lord Sri Krishna. Various personalities who are trying to achieve even liberation, what to speak of Prema, because of the material, you know, contamination within the mind, they have very little faith that God is a person. Very little faith. It's very, very difficult for someone to say that I'm going to fix my mind completely upon this little cowherd boy who walks around the village of Vrindavan, you know, with his cows and his friends, and with the gopis. This little blue boy, I understand that if I just think of this little cowherd boy from Vrindavan, or people think from India, if I think of this little Indian boy, even though I'm a Christian or a Muslim or this, but somehow if I think of this little Indian boy, I will become, you know, completely God realized and go back to the spiritual world. You know, people don't have that faith. They don't even think God is a person at all. Most people, what to speak of, God is a person, most people don't even think that there is a God. Most people don't even care whether there's a God or not a God. You know, the process of, you know, having that faith that, yeah, I'll just put everything aside, I've got so much business, so many things I've got to do today. I've got hundreds and hundreds of people telling me, oh, you've got this duty to do, and you've got this duty to do, and you've got this to do. Oh, no, no, no. I have firm faith. Everything will be nicely executed if I just fix my mind upon Krishna. No, as soon as we you know, someone says, oh, you know, this has to be done, that has to be done, you know, you have this duty, you have this duty. Oh, yes. And we absorb ourselves. We just, I will put Krishna aside. You know, maybe there's no real God, maybe it's not really the process. I've heard there's other things like that. Very, very difficult. So therefore, but one should do it. But if one wants to do it but is not qualified, which, you know, most of us fit into that category, Sukadeva Goswami, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he teaches us in the same way that he taught Purukkha Maharaj. He taught Purukkha Maharaj the process that first you fix your mind upon certain aspects of the Lord. And just as we meditate upon the super soul, you begin from the lotus feet and gradually you rise up like this to the smiling face. Even, you know, when we look at the deities, we sort of look in that way. Actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the non-different from the Supreme Lord. And the first two cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam are considered to be the lotus feet. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions that if a devotee is, you know, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, if they're hampered by sex desire, they should not go beyond the first two cantos. If a devotee is struggling to control sex desire, they should not read beyond those two cantos. They should, you know, continually read those two cantos until such time as they become somewhat purified, that they can actually, then meditate upon progressively higher aspects of the transcendental body of Lord Sri Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, definitely they should not jump to the pastimes of Lord Krishna, which is the smiling face. Very, very dangerous. Because actually, if a person is struggling with sex desire and so many material desires, then when they, that means they're on the material platform. That means they're struggling with material contamination. And that means their understanding of the Lord is completely shrouded in material misunderstanding. And therefore, when they read the intimate pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the 10th canto, they can only have a material estimation of that, and therefore they're likely to cause great offences by associating that somehow or another Krishna's pastimes with the gopis are authorising my material activities of sex life in this world. And in order to embellish my activities of sex life in this material world, I might imitate the pastimes of Radha Krishna like this. And so many different, very, very dangerous, actually, as Sukadeva Goswami describes, to artificially or prematurely absorb oneself in Krishna's Nitya Leela. Actually, Krishna's pastimes have two aspects. Krishna's pastimes have Naimittika Leela and Nitya Leela. There are activities of Krishna, or occasional activities, which he performs when the Supreme Lord comes to this world. He performs activities which he doesn't necessarily do in the spiritual world, such as killing demons. His activities, you know, his pastime as Lord Vishnu is, you know, an activity which the Lord performs in relationship to the material world. The Vishnu feature does not manifest in the spiritual world. So these are the Naimittika or occasional activities of the Lord, different pastimes which he does perform, eternally going on so they're eternal because they're going from one universe to another eternally, but they're occasional happening in this universe, and they're not necessarily happening in the spiritual world. Krishna's activities, such as his, you know, dancing with the gopis and his intimate pastimes, his Astakaliya Leela. Astakaliya Leela is where Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world eternally rotate in an eightfold division of the day and night. So in the spiritual world, Krishna's pastimes have unlimited variety, and there's eightfold divisions, such as Krishna's beginning his day with Srimati Radharani, and then going to different places in Vrindavan. Later, Krishna playing with his cowherd boys. And then Krishna again enjoying with his girlfriends. Later coming home to see, you know, the elders, Mother Yasoda, and milking the cows. And later in the evening, going and associating again with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. These are Nitya Leela, these eternal activities which happen in the spiritual world. But the beginning devotee who wants to learn the process of hearing chanting, they can read these incidentally. Incidentally means that someone gives them a Krishna book on the street. We know Prabhupada liked the Krishna books to be distributed. They pick them up, they just read them. They just read the whole book. Krishna's pastimes with the gopis happen to be in that sequence, they just read them. That's fine. That's incidental. What a young devotee should not do is just hover about on, you know, certain sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam that deal with Krishna's Nitya Lila, they should actually become firmly, solidly convinced and a proper understanding about the activities of the Lord in his form as Vishnu, how Krishna is maintaining the material world and the various incarnations that appear through Vishnu that establish religious principles. So through those different incarnations we can see the various religious principles, the yoga processes, the process of jnana, the process of karma. Like this we can understand these things. This is more appropriate. Actually, for the beginning devotee, even that sort of reading is too much. Actually, for one who has no taste at all to hear about and chant about Lord Sri Krishna, the devotees who are helping them to come to the platform of hearing and chanting and fixing the mind upon the Lord, they should speak different parts of the philosophy which just help them to have a little faith in the process of chanting the Yuga Dham, or just some very general information that sometimes we help people to understand that God is great, we're his servants, our relationship is to serve him. To hear that sort of thing, just to help people to understand that it pushes them in the direction of a mood of surrender and developing some initial faith that God is a person, God is transcendental, and if we chant his name or do some service, we get some transcendental benefit. So these there may be some stories from the Mahabharata, tell stories, and a little bit of philosophy sprinkled in here and there, some stories from the Ramayana or the Puranas. They're very, very simple. If those devotees, after hearing, and it's described here, they should hear that daily, they should associate with the devotee daily, and then throughout the day try and think about what that devotee has said. If they do that and they come to the point where they have faith in what that devotee is saying, that God is great, I'm his servant, if they can, and that by devotional service we can attain perfection, that person develops the slightest little faith called Shraddha, and that Shraddha, with that, he has the first initial currency to enter into the process of chanting and hearing and remembering, and that person can purchase hearing and chanting about the Lord's name. That person is not qualified to systematically be hearing about the Lord's form, the Lord's qualities, or the Lord's Leela especially. If those devotees actually begin to chant the holy names of the Lord with the tiniest little... So these are, these personalities, they may have just the beginning faith that I should chant the names of the Lord. As Sukadeva Goswami is saying, they just have the tiniest little faith. And with a little puff of wind, it's gone. Therefore, associating with devotees daily is important. But for such persons, they're not pure devotees. Because even the neophyte devotees who actually have that faith properly, they're considered pure devotees. A devotee who from the very beginning says, yes, I'm going to dedicate, I believe that if I chant Hare Krishna and surrender to Krishna, I will achieve all perfection. That neophyte devotee from the very beginning is classed amongst the pure devotees in the neophyte stage. Even though, just like, you know, you have a green mango, it is a mango nonetheless. But others, they don't have that faith. And therefore, they're barely qualified. They find it very difficult even to chant the holy name of the Lord. But if they actually get that faith by hearing such discussions from the devotees, then they begin to chant. And when they begin to chant, they become qualified to actually hear and chant about other activities. So just like today is actually the appearance day of Srivas Thakur. So Srivas Thakur is considered the Sudanam Acharya. Anyone who wants to have that pure faith in the holy name today, if they don't have it, or if they have it and they want it to become pure, 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 they should pray to Srivas Thakur, because he is the shelter, he is the particular person that you approach to bless you with that faith and ability to chant the holy name of the Lord purely. What is the platform of Srivas Thakur? Who is Srivas Thakur? Let's answer that one first. What's that? He is Narada Muni, yeah. And actually, his wife is Malini. Malini was actually Ambika in the spiritual world, who was actually one of Krishna's nurses. Krishna used to drink her breast milk. So she is the wife of Srivas Thakur. And Srivas Thakur's niece is Narayani, who is Ambika's sister in the spiritual world. And of course, Narayani became the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, very famous acharya in our disciple procession. So, Srivas Thakur is none other than Narada Muni. He had three brothers, Sri Ram. Sri Ram is none other than Parvata Muni, is a very dear friend of Narada Muni. And he had two other brothers, Srinath and one more. Srinath and Bigadeva. So, but, you know, so Srivas Thakur, he is one of the Panchatattva. We know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in five features as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He appeared in his original form, Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His expansion, Balaram, became Lord Nityananda, his first expansion. The expansion of the expansion, Advaita Acharya, was none other than Mahavishnu. The Lord's internal spiritual energy became Gadadhara Pandit. And Srivas Thakur, representing Jiva Tattva, or the living entity, was none other than Narada Muni. So, if one actually prays to Srivas Thakur, they can increase their ability to chant the pure name. And that was the platform of Srivas Thakur. They recognized no other god, no other gods, no other demigods, no other goddesses. There is just Krishna. That is actually the platform of Sudanam. That I don't have to work, I don't have to go to this god or that god, or this one, I just have to chant Krishna's holy name and all perfection will come. This is the instruction of Sukadeva Goswami, who summarized it as the essence of all the Vedas. I'll take that. Here is Sukadeva Goswami speaking. Who is listening? Vyasadeva is relishing. Vyasadeva is the author of all the Vedas. You think if something was wrong, he'd stand up and say, I wrote the Vedas. What are you saying? Narada Muni, who later becomes Srivas Thakur, he's sitting, listening to Srivas. Yes, yes, glory, speak more, speak more. It's not that anyone, you know, can... So here, Sukadeva Goswami, the highest authority, he says it, chanting. This is beyond liberation, it gives you prema bhakti. And of course, if one gets that ability, becomes a pure devotee in the neophyte stage, they then, you know, they can cultivate study of the Bhagavad Gita and Bhakti Shastri and, you know, Bhakti Bhai Bhava topics which help them to remove the impurities and the obstacles. They may also hear Krishna's pastimes, especially, you know, Namitika Lila, purposefully. That means they can not incidental reading, but they can study some of the pastimes of Krishna, which deal with, you know, when Krishna kills particular demons, within there, the pastime itself removes impurities from the heart, and the lessons we learn help us to, you know, personally work also on particular anathas which are preventing us from attaining the platform of pure love of God on the platform of the Brajavasis. So we should study those pastimes purposely. Still, one can read the, you know, pastimes of Krishna Nitya Lila somewhat incidentally. But one should study, you know, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhai Baba, you know, the first cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a person is still qualified for the name. When such a person becomes fixed, you know, nishtha, majjhima adhikari, you know, very firm faith, a mature devotee, you know, such persons, they're qualified to hear and chant and glorify the name and about the form of the Lord, you know, in a purposeful, systematic way. So therefore there are various, you know, when they, you know, they practice performing devotional activities, still sadhana bhakti, but they're trying to come to the platform of the Brajavasis by performing spontaneous, pure, unmotivated devotion. So they're trying to come to that platform. If they take shelter of Advaita Acharya, he is the Pancharatrika Vidhi Acharya. For one who wants to be fixed in devotion, to perform one's sadhana, vaidhi bhakti, so nicely that it transforms into raga bhakti, one should take shelter of Advaita Acharya, and he will give that ability as one hears and chants about the name and the form of the Lord. And then such a person, they become qualified, they develop ruchi, strong taste, and a strong attachment to Krishna. So such persons, you know, they're qualified to, you know, chant and hear and remember and meditate upon the name, the form, the qualities of the Lord. They may actually, apart from the other readings, they may also read Krishna's Nitya Lila to, you know, to some degree. But if they're reading Krishna's Nitya Lila and there is signs of being disturbed by sex desire, then they should drop back a rung. That's a fact. You know, they can do that. If they can read Krishna's Nitya Lila to begin, in order to, you know, increase their, you know, their reading and chanting, and the purpose is to, they're practicing to be always absorbed in the memory, in remembering, you know, Krishna. That is the beginning. Their hearing and chanting has come to the point where they can actually always have the form of the Lord within their minds, you know, to some degree or another. Actually, otherwise people are hearing and chanting, but they, the form of the Lord doesn't, you know, as often as they would like, manifest within their heart, within their form, within their, you know, activities. And then the pure devotees, or, you know, the ultima adhikaris, you know, from Bhava, they come to the platform of Bhava first, and of course for one who wants to mature to the platform of Bhava Bhakti, they should take shelter of Gadadha Pandits. Gadadha Pandit will bestow upon them the ability to hear and chant and glorify the Lord in such a way that that mood of bhava spiritual transcendental ecstasy and emotion becomes very nicely flowering like a lotus flower within their heart. And if they take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu, he is a prema ashraya. He will allow them for that bhava to mature into prema bhakti. Such devotees on that platform systematically can, you know, regularly participate in hearing and chanting about Krishna's Asta Kaliya Leela. Krishna's very intimate pastimes, his eightfold pastimes. There is no disturbance from the mind, the material mind. And of course, if they take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Rasa Acharya, then from that prema bhakti, as they're reading and hearing and chanting and remembering about the Lord, then they will actually taste the transcendental rasas in the association with Krishna as they're hearing and chanting. So therefore, we see here that for all levels of persons, Sukadeva Goswami is recommending that the chanting destroys everything inauspicious within the heart, but we should understand that we should qualify that. The chanting still has to be done properly from the beginning, according to our ability. We hear and chant certain topics as directed by devotees. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that the devotee should engage in such listening in regular daily assemblies and also should continue his hearing throughout the day. In other words, in the morning, you hear from the devotee how to hear and chant properly according to your level. And then you practice that through the day. And you do that every day. And the devotees you are coming to hear, they're guiding, so that gradually, as you are progressing in your hearing and chanting, under guidance, you don't make huge mistakes on the path of devotion, and you are taking the medicine in the doses that you should be taking. Hearing and chanting is a medicine, but we don't just give, here's a bottle of medicine. This person's really sick. Open your mouth, get a funnel, we'll just pour the whole lot in. Little children, they see, you give them a tiny little teaspoon, this. And the same way, it's the medicine, but because of our illness, we have to take it in the little doses that we are able to, gradually as we increase that. Some medicines are actually poisons. But, when they're given in the proper doses, you can increase that poison and it has a therapeutic effect. Whereas if you give that poisonous medicine, too big, it actually has an adverse reaction. So hearing and chanting is a medicine, but we should understand it actually should be done properly under the direction of devotees. And one who doesn't hear and chant about the Lord under the direction of devotees, coming in the line of Sukadeva Goswami, that person will find very, very difficult to make progress even on the recommended path of hearing and chanting. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. Everyone happy? Leave it there. You stand? Is it one question? I'll tell you. Yeah. Because sometimes I go ahead of class and someone says, I was going to ask you a question. It's sort of like working up, I stopped here quick. Yes. Gadadhar Pandit bestows his Bhava Ashraya, or the shelter of devotional service in the mood of Bhava. And by taking shelter from him, by attaining his blessings, we can develop that level of devotional service properly. You know, so in other words, these Ashrayas, they have set a certain standard in their devotional activity. So when we read through Chaitanya Charitamrita, again, it fits into this system of reading that, therefore, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, you know, after a person has done Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, which is the first six cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Vedanta, the next six cantos, then they do Bhakti Sarvabhauma, which is the, you know, pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In those pastimes, there are some parts that we can give from the very beginning, but there are some intimate pastimes which deal where the Lord and his associates, like Gadadhar Pandit, are displaying the activities of a devotee, what we need to learn to perfect that mood of bhava, that level of bhava, or what we need to learn to perfect that devotional service in prema. So through those devotees, their activities, their teachings, their relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can, you know, learn, you know, from them, and also, you know, literally by taking shelter of them, we can, you know, get their blessings. In the same way, well, you know, when we approach a guru, we may ask questions, but until we please the guru, we don't actually, the lessons don't manifest as realizations solidly within our heart. Therefore, when we approach the guru, we serve them submissively, ask questions. Then the questions and the answers, through that service attitude, they manifest. So in the same way, we literally approach the Panchatattva, and they are all gurus teaching different aspects of, you know, leading the way to, you know, relishing rasa on the platform of prema bhakti. We learn from them, and we take shelter of them, and we serve them in particular ways. And this is all actually the subject of study of the Bhakti Sarvabhauma in the study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah, it is. Bhakti Sarvabhauma is meant for, it's very elevated. Prabhupada mentions, you know, just, he sometimes summarizes these things in, you know, just a few sentences that, you know, basically through the Bhagavad Gita and preliminary books like that, you know, we get acquainted, preliminary understanding of the philosophy and practice of Krishna consciousness. Through the Srimad Bhagavatam, we actually become fixed in the science of God-realization and self-realization. And a devotee has done that, can then relish devotional service and as they hear and chant their different pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is for devotees who are on the platform of relishing Krishna consciousness on a very, very elevated platform. You know, there are some aspects there which are important from the very beginning, but there are many aspects there which are for devotees, very elevated devotees. Therefore, you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to, you know, his favourite book was the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he used to read in his, you know, leisure times and relish. And I believe that, you know, when Srila Prabhupada was coming across to America on the Jaladuta, that he was also, you know, relishing the Chaitanya Charitamrita as well. Yeah. But, you know, the ability to... Maharaj, when he was just here, summed that up. I forget how he summed it up. I don't know if anyone can remember. But, you know, that platform of relishing is very, you know, he was giving the example of the hill. You know, Kadama Kanam Maharaj, you know, in the beginning of devotional service, it's like going uphill, you know, difficult. You're going uphill. You get to the top of the hill, it's sort of like the, you know, the Majjhima Adhikari, you know, the struggle's not there so much. At the same time, you know, it's for them it's not as easy or flowing as for the very advanced devotees who are like downhill. It's just, you know, very relishable, very easy, very nice like that. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is usually relished by devotees on that topmost level. Although some aspects of it are important, you know, for instance, to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga Dham and that the process is chanting Hare Krishna, that can be taught from the very beginning. As far as how they manifest the activities of, you know, Raghunuga Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti, you know, relishing rasa, which is all there, therefore progressively more elevated devotees from the Majjhima Adhikari up to the pure devotee. And you know, similarly, you know, we study Bhakti, we study Nectar Devotion, the first 19 chapters in Bhakti Sastri, but you know, the rest of the chapters are sort of for that elevated level as well. They discuss, you know, more detailed aspects of Prema Bhakti and, you know, Rasa and what have you. Any other questions? Or? Thank you. Hare Krishna.